did you know that? The culture there is, the ethics behind that are, sit back and be thoughtful with some of our highlighted interviews on Moncrief. Today, obviously, it's a massive business. Tomorrow, not so much. There are businesses that commercially grow shamrock, and a bit like Christmas trees or turkeys or communion outfits, it's a seasonal trade. On the line is James O'Leary. He's MD of Living Shamrock, one of the country's largest exporters. Good afternoon, James.
Sean, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Happy Patrick's Day to you.
And happy Patrick's Day to you as well and all your listeners.
So could you tell us, like, over the course of a year, what's your production cycle?
We would sow the shamrock around middle the end of September. And obviously it is going on then throughout the winter and goes into packaging then, which is around the end of February that way, and into we refrigerate it just to bring down the temperature and to give it the best possible shelf life. But interestingly then, even though Paddy's Day is over now, we'll have around 1,000 mother plants that we'll grow on, and we'll harvest seed off them then for next year. So in one sense, there's a little bit of it going on all year round, you know.
Right, I know. And it's all grown under glass houses, is that correct?
It's grown in glass houses below in Ballinaskellig in County Kerry.
And it's as I understand it, it's not all grown in soil. Some of it's grown in a sort of gel.
Yeah, the way we originally became involved in it was on a commercial basis was UCD, University College Dublin, would have developed this technology. There have been two guys there by the name of Joe Morgan and Ray O'Hare, and they developed this technology whereby the shamrock could be grown in a gel. And basically, gel would be like, they're almost like little plastic granules of sugar, but they can absorb, I think, something like 100 times their weight in water. So they came up with a way of treating the gel so as that the roots of the shamrock would grow into it. So that way then, when a lot of it, there's two ways we sell shamrock. It would be either in skillet pots or else to be in ready-to-wear lapels. And the ready-to-wear lapels are all grown in this hydrogel.
Okay? Right.
So they're a root-intact plant. So it means they're actually... they're living, growing while you're wearing them. And if you want to, then afterwards you can take it out of its little holder and you can pot it into a little peat and grow it on yourself.
Right. So I assume that means then as well that you can export them and they're still well and healthy when they arrive wherever you're sending them to.
We would say there'd be two markets there from our perspective. There would be there's a number of different markets, but we'd say from the perspective of in retail shops, there's a lot of people will buy them for posting. Okay, So obviously when these are a root intact plant, do you know what I mean? They've a better shelf life. We would have then bigger consignments that would be going out for different groups, and we'd have a Department of Agriculture phytosanitary cert with them, which means that they're pest free and they're soil free and they're okay for exporting.
Mm. Now, shamrock is a sort of clover. Is that right?
It's now you're into the technical end here. And putting, I'd have to get one of the other members of the company. Yes, it would be termed a trifoliate.
Mm.
Okay, so it's one of those pasture swards that's tree leafed.
Right, okay. So, but presumably, it's an important thing to you that you don't by accident start growing a load of four-leaf clover.
Well, it'd be very important that we don't end up growing clover in the story,
yeah,
whether it's three-leaf or four-leaf.
Right, okay.
Because once you get more familiar with the plants, there's actually quite a difference in them. So the clover would have a much bigger leaf.
Right.
Okay. Interestingly, just we'll say from the perspective in pasture land, clover would be mixed with grass seed. Okay, so it makes the pasture sward denser. Do you know what I mean? From the point of view of the animals eating it, and shamrock would never have been used for that because its leaf was much smaller than the clover leaf. So the logic would be that the shamrock wasn't good for pasture.
Mm.
Okay.
And given that you're growing it under glass, is it a fairly consistent crop every year, or can the weather affect it in any way?
Well, when you're under glass, you're protecting yourself from obviously the weather conditions, and you can put a bit of heat on them. But we just say, for instance, if you're growing outdoors, you remember there around, was it 4 or 5 years ago, we'd where the temperatures dropped to minus 12, minus 14 one winter.
Mm.
Well, any of the people that would have been growing shamrock that year outdoors, well, whatever shamrock they're growing was wiped, you know, because of the freezing, yes.
Yeah. So how many different parts of the world do you export shamrock to?
Oh, wow. I'd say we'd be, the one that would give us the greatest diversity would be, we'd supply the Department of Defence. Okay, so any of the Irish Army that would be serving with the UN abroad, so wherever they're based, we'd be supplying shamrock to them. So it'd be going to, I don't deal hands on with that part of it, but I know one of the addresses we'd have would be Mali, you know.
Genie.
So yeah, so to be going here, there, and yonder.
Right. Okay. Can you? Is it true that there's kind of a you can put shamrock into crisps?
Because your researchers doing their job, aren't they?
Aren't they just? Yeah.
Absolutely. There's we'd work with Kyo's crisps.
Mm.
They're the potato producers there in North Dublin. They came up with the idea at one stage was shamrock flavored crisps. So we supply them with the shamrock, and they send it off to a food ingredients company, and they would extract the ingredients from the shamrock.
Right, and what does it taste like?
Well, I think my memory says to me, and actually they're quite nice, is that they're shamrock and sour cream flavor crisps. So I'd be thinking maybe that the sour cream might be giving it the strongest flavor. I'd say the shamrock might be a tiny little bit neutral.
Right, but it's a bit of roughage. It's probably no harm.
No harm whatsoever. Wouldn't it green you up a bit?
Yeah, wouldn't it just now that Pat, from tomorrow, does a lot of people in your company now take a bit of a holiday?
Okay. Obviously, with the we'll say the past 2 weeks, we would have a lot of part-time and casual labour.
Mm.
Okay, that would be involved in the packaging, and that would be the most intense time. But no, other than that, our company is involved in we do Christmas cards with primary schools, where the young children design their own Christmas cards. So that just literally we would begin to roll into that around the beginning of April. But the greenhouse below then as well, we'd be doing a few other crops in that as well. So it would be pretty much all year round.
Good stuff. James, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That's James O'Leary there, Managing Director of Living Shamrock. More interviews that make you go, on Moncrief, weekdays from 1:30.